Tech platforms, social media platforms, and search engines alike are all in a giant race to see who can create the best artificial intelligence. On this episode of the podcast, we are going to take a look at some of the more recent changes and feedback from the market on Google's new artificial intelligence, and we're going to talk about how TikTok is taking another step into the territory of Google and why that could make you rethink your presence on the platform. In a world full of acronyms for everything, sometimes I feel like I should be carrying like a pocket dictionary, right? A little book in my pocket that I can open it up and remember what all these acronyms mean. But I think we can all agree artificial intelligence would be very cumbersome to keep saying. So AI, AI, AI. As we've told you before on other episodes and much of our content, AI is only becoming more integrated, and sometimes it's very easy, I will say, to get lost in the sauce, if you will, and some of the headlines that you're going to read on the news unrelated to the subjects that we're talking about today, sometimes they're alarming. Sometimes it can feel like AI is taking over. People are afraid for the future of their jobs. People are afraid for their privacy. But I can assure you, in the topics that we'll elaborate on today, there are some good things that are happening with AI coming to the forefront. And you should never lose that human intuition, that human connection. No matter how we are using AI at the agency, the bottom line is it's still a real human, a member from our team, developing that full strategy, monitoring it, and implementing it. So, with that being said, let's talk about Google. And what has Google done recently with their artificial intelligence? And how was that sentiment from the public? You likely know by now, Google did not have what I would call a successful rollout of their artificial intelligence integration. In fact, it was anything but successful. There's a lot of stories around that you can read on your own time, where industry experts are suggesting the race to catch up and keep pace with a company like OpenAI is developing a lot of rushed artificial intelligence features by many tech platforms. What Google did was release their version of AI. However, soon upon release, people started noticing that, well, some of the data and some of the facts, as I say in quotations, they were not accurate. In fact, some of them actually very inaccurate and dangerous advice. But as I opened and reminded you all that there's still this human element and connection there, the best part of what happened was how Google rolled out their AI and what we, as the searcher, as the human, as the user behind the screen, what we were able to see with their AI platform, and that was the key here. If you've been on Google recently and you've conducted a search, you have likely noticed that the top search result, the first thing that comes on your screen now, is an AI-related answer. And it's happening very fast, and the whole goal, obviously, is to use artificial intelligence to very precisely answer that question that you likely typed in to the search engine, into Google. However, what happened, and if you want to scroll the internet and read some of the debacles, I'll call them, of the answers that Google and their artificial intelligence gave to users, you can get a good laugh. I think my favorite one was probably when Google's AI suggested that you add glue as an ingredient to your pizza. I would not recommend that, even though I think a couple years ago there was a Tide Pod trend going on where people were putting Tide Pods on pizza. I wouldn't recommend either. But more so for this podcast, why is that happening? Why would you search ingredients for a pizza and have artificial intelligence, which by all means and what humans have learned can compute things, connect dots, and grow at a compound and rapid pace of intelligence, how could something like that built by one of the tech giants of the world, Google, possibly tell a user that putting glue in their pizza is a key ingredient. The reason is there's not a human element there anymore. The artificial intelligence is unable at this point in time to determine fact from satire. Yes, it can quickly scroll the internet and in milliseconds create profound answers to questions based on all types of articles, but where are those articles coming from? Take a site like Reddit, for example. If you've ever been on Reddit, you know that there's a lot of factual posts. There's also a lot of satire. If you're unable to distinguish how a human being is talking and if they are stating fact or satire, then a platform like Google's AI is much more likely to spit something out back to you, back to your search engine result that they think is a fact. And actually, it is satire. That is exactly what's happening with the pizza example. It is important to point out this obviously very important distinction between the right and wrong ingredients for a pizza recipe, but more so it's going to be even more important for now and in the future for everyone to keep in mind the psychology of artificial intelligence and the role that humans play in cross-checking platforms and devices like we're seeing here. It is a great thing that an answer could pop up in milliseconds, but it's also an even greater thing that Google put that at the top of a search result and did not use their AI to potentially serve you up a list of websites. What would that do? Well, you'd be going down a rabbit hole of even more clicks, right? And once you got to that web page and realized that what you were reading was not a pizza recipe, but obviously someone making a joke, you would have even been more unhappy, right? It would have caused more problems. So the fact that it is right in your face is a good thing. People were calling it out immediately. There's a lot of examples of this, but the psychology of AI and where are we going and how smart is this? This is what people need to keep in mind. One article that I read from an independent source, total opinion, but I agree on it, and I think it has a lot to do with digital marketing, is keeping in mind what's the purpose, what's the impetus of these answers that you're getting from a search engine using AI. Years ago, when you typed something into a search engine, your results were purely based on the optimization of somebody else's website. Right? The more optimized your website was, the more clearly defined it answered your question, the better your content, the better your behind-the-scenes metadata and technical optimization was, the higher chances you had to come up first, second, third, first page of Google, right? Is that, and I'm not suggesting it is, but is that going to change with AI? The psychology, the impetus behind it is what we need to keep in mind. Because as humans, we are going to get very used to just seeing a very quick answer, boom, and taking that for fact, especially if it's an answer that we cannot derive satire from, like putting glue on your pizza. That's very obvious that you shouldn't do that. But will it be very obvious when you're searching for the best company in your area to do home renovations? How do you know that the company that was suggested was the greatest optimized site and company in the area, or is there something else behind the scenes on why that company was suggested? These are the type of things that we have to keep in mind. And again, not saying this is happening, but in order to trust artificial intelligence, we need to see proof, especially with these recent examples of how AI is clearly not up to par in some situations that we thought. Now, all that being said, I do think there is a flip side of the coin that we deal with here every day as an agency, which is using artificial intelligence to manage your campaigns, fuel some of the strategies, help implement and come up with topics for content. And we're not shy about that. We're a digital agency. It would be blind of us, if I do say so myself, to not say that artificial intelligence is a large player in our industry today. It would be a little bit blind of us to not say that we as experts can use that to enhance our clients' programs. We do every day. But what we never do, and is what we emphasize in the podcast, other episodes, content that we produce, is there's always a human element at play. And that human element is the flip side of this coin. Anything that we just talked about in terms of search results is different than how AI is being used to manage your campaigns, specifically for targeting. And just like I said, remember the psychology of AI and the impetus of AI when you're using a search engine, for example, you must remember the business aspect of digital marketing. If your results are better, so are Google's, in this case, to use Google as the example, but the same would be for any platform. Rolling out AI and saying that glue is a great ingredient for your pizza is definitely detrimental. Doing that for an ad platform and making that kind of equivalent mistake in targeting could lead to a downcline in revenue, a downward spiral of trust in that platform that could take months and years to recover from because of how much we trust a platform like Google to get us ROI. So why I'm saying this is, number one, you need to rest assured that if you're using our agency and a team that is as good as ours, we're always infusing that human element, and we're not using AI to run your campaigns. We're using AI to enhance your campaigns. We are the ones still running it. And number two, remember the signals that AI is using in your campaigns, for example, are very different than the signals that you're seeing from just putting in a search result in Google. Google needs your campaigns to win. They're always on your side if you're investing money. The more you make, the more they make, and the game goes on. They want you to put more in the pot just like anybody else, and so do we. So the targeting that we're using, the AI indicators and tools that we're using behind the scenes are different than these headlines that sometimes you wake up and read. So I wanted to really emphasize that. Remember, there's two sides of the coin here. Don't forget the psychology of artificial intelligence. When you're going about your day, using search engines, going on different websites, using your iPhone, your Android phone, and all the apps available to us. And then remember the business aspect of it when you're actually investing in digital marketing, or you're in charge of your company's investments in digital marketing. Overlap, perhaps, but two very different mindsets, and very important to understand how they work. All right. When we come back to this episode of the podcast, we're going to break down TikTok. And what did they just do recently that is stepping a little bit closer to Google's territory? Eye on Digital Marketing is brought to you by More Visibility, leaders in digital strategy, search, and data. We've been in business for over 24 years. In fact, our 25th anniversary is right around the corner. There is no better expert team for you to get content from. Please subscribe, like, rate the podcast so you never miss an episode. Check out our website, morevisibility.com, where you can find many other content opportunities for you and the team, such as blogs, white papers, and webinars. And follow us on social media at morevisibility, all one word. If you'd like to talk digital strategy or think that our expert team could help yours grow and improve your ROI, we are here for you. Send us an email anytime, info@morevisibility.com, and one of our team members will get back to you as soon as possible. The branding of TikTok is very well done. It is memorable. They have a pretty strong logo, but did they miss the mark by not incorporating some type of clock? Does anybody else, when they hear TikTok, just see a clock in their mind? I don't know. TikTok, call me if that's an idea you want to discuss. We're happy to implement it for you. If you're not on TikTok personally, or your brand or business does not have a presence on TikTok previously on the podcast, I've really suggested that that's your own decision. You need to make, you know, the most of your money and your budget, and you need to understand your audience and where they are. However, TikTok has been dominating the social media landscape, regardless of what you hear in the news about the U.S. government wanting to shut it down or restrict access to social media for certain age groups. Regardless of all that, TikTok is still dominating. And if you know anything about the youth, if you have children or just remember when you were younger and in your teenage years, anything you tell them not to do, they're going to want to do more of. Numbers in TikTok, engagement all around is up, has been going up. And we know that it is an extremely addictive platform. And that's exactly what they wanted to create. Recently, TikTok confirmed with TechCrunch that they are testing a new feature in search. That feature is going to allow anyone to upload photos of products that they like or inspire to see more of and link that automatically to products and features and influencers within TikTok. This is a very Google-like feature. This is a very search-like feature. And the reason this is big news is because TikTok was already leading the social media landscape in engagement. There's already millions and millions of dollars being made and being funneled from influencers to brands to promote on TikTok, whether it's in your face or subtly. But having the user now with more power to find what they're interested in and look up new inspiring products can be huge. I know there's retailers out there. I know there's product manufacturers out there who have not explored TikTok, and I get it. The demographic and the overall persona of TikTok may not be appealing. But remember, when you're doing your strategy and you're looking at social media and content and where you want to spend your revenue, it is important to keep an eye on the competition. What are they doing? It is important to understand your audience and know how many people within your audience, what that portion is like that is actually on TikTok. It's important to calculate if you were to test or go full force with a campaign, what would that potential return look like? And how could you create assets? How could you create creative, if you will, that is appealing and different from other social media platforms? Because as much as TikTok's engagement is increasing, there's also a demand by those users to have good content. You need to come quickly, you need to be creative, and you need to be cool. If you can't do those three things, then even if you're supposed to be on TikTok, you may not have success. But this is going to change the landscape of retailers, I believe, and e-com businesses a lot. If you're seeing a social media platform already dominating the space for years start to shift over to search-like features, number one, if I'm sitting at the Google roundtable, I'm having a discussion about this, right? It's even more important now for Google to get its ducks in a row, so to speak, so they can instill more trust. But on the flip side of it, if I'm sitting at the TikTok executive table, I'm absolutely pushing into this boundary. Absolutely pushing into this boundary. If I know that the demographics on TikTok are spending 50% on another platform, Google, searching things that with a few updates they could search in my platform, I'm absolutely pushing that boundary. So we need to really keep an eye on this. If you have TikTok and this does become available to you in the coming months, much like Google did by offering Google Lens, a few years ago, if anyone remembers that experience, it's all about shopping. It's all about e-com. And you may start to see a shift of people realizing and recognizing TikTok as not just a social media application anymore, but really a marketplace. Facebook did that with Facebook Marketplace. OfferUp has been a big player in the game as well. So this is absolutely something to watch because TikTok already has the trust and the user demographics they need to be strong. So if they can roll this out with minimal hiccups and it is very accessible and easy to use for the user, I would expect this to be a really, really big hit. So evaluate, if you should be in TikTok, evaluate how you're going to roll out your TikTok creative. And if you are e-com brand, big retailer, product manufacturer, keep an eye on this. This could be big. Thank you all once again for listening. This is Eye on Digital Marketing, a podcast by digital marketers for digital marketers, presented by More Visibility. If you would like to get in touch with us anytime, feel free to shoot us an email, info@morevisibility.com. Check out our website, morevisibility.com. We're happy to discuss your digital strategy and see if our team can help. That's exactly why we're here. Until next episode, thank you, and talk to you all soon.